What I want to talk to you about here tonight, briefly, is the subject of the faith of Abraham and the blessing of Abraham. I was watching a couple of programs last night, and they were putting such emphasis upon blessings and prosperity. And whenever they talk about blessings and prosperity, one of the figures of the scriptures that are often referred to is Abraham. And one of the reasons they talk about Abraham is because if you're not a child of Abraham, if you're not of the seed of Abraham, you don't get the blessing, so to speak, and the faith of Abraham. They like to talk about the faith of Abraham. They like to talk about the blessings of Abraham, and they talk about those two things as a means of, and you know, when I listen to them, I really be trying to figure out exactly what are these guys, you know, what is it that they're after? What is it that they're saying? And they genuinely believe, you know, that God's design for them is to prosper materially now in this world, to have prosperity, to have the riches, to have the material wealth of this world, to be at their disposal. And they believe that. And they believe the key to that is being that might have been one, because something about being, I remember that the word millionaire, something in there was in one of the presentations last night. But I sit and I watch and I listen and I watch the people, how they respond to that kind of preaching, and it gets them excited. But I sit and I watch the one guy, he said, now God gave me a revelation, gave me a move, that here's a move that you're going to put on Satan that he can't block. And you know, you think the guy got something really to say, and I mean, it was, you know, I don't even know how to describe it. It was just that bad. You know, that people will sit and will be taken in by that kind of preaching, by that kind of teaching. And, you know, he's actually trying to get the people to jump up and do a dunk, you know, to simulate dunking the ball through the basket, through the hoop. And that was the move that Satan couldn't block. Now, that was supposed to teach them, however, some spiritual lesson. And, you know, that they can make a move that Satan can't block, so that they would have, you know, access to the prosperity that God has for them and so forth, not allow Satan to deprive them of their prosperity. But people are, you know, the reason people are drawn to that is because they're looking for something that God hasn't promised them. But they don't want to hear anything to the contrary. They're only going to tune in to people who are telling them what they want to hear. And you got many a preachers and many a teachers out there that will tell them what they want to hear. And ministries will thrive and expand and grow and become mega ministries because you have people feeding, you know, the desires and the wishes of people, rather than preaching and teaching the truth of God's word rightly divided. Now, that, you know, just naturally agrees with what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 about the time will come where they will no longer endure sound doctrine, but shall heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. And they'll turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And that's what they do. and the truth is no longer appealing to them. The truth is no longer something that they want to endure. They rather endure a lie. They rather be told a lie than to be told the truth, if the truth means that they can't have what they desire. And so they would rather believe the lie rather than to believe the truth. But I think it's important when you talk about Abraham. There's the passage in Galatians. Let me see here. Galatians chapter 3. No, it's Galatians chapter. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I think it's Romans. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Bear with me a second here. Look up my reference. I didn't write that down. Excuse me one second. Sorry about that. That was a phone call I had to take there. No more interruptions. Okay. Now, getting back to finding my verse, and I'm sorry I didn't have it noted, but the verse I'm looking for, I believe it's actually in Romans. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse... it is Galatians. I'm sorry. It is Galatians chapter 3. And... Galatians 3 and 14. Galatians chapter 3 and 14. Brother Greg or Sister Donna, if you can post that one for me. Galatians 3 and verse 14. Now, there he talks about the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, also, yeah, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Now, if you look back at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. In verse 9, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And so that's why Abraham figures largely in the prosperity movement, you know, the prosperity preaching, because of what the scriptures teach about Abraham. And that's why I wanted to just focus with you just a little bit here tonight on Abraham, the faith of Abraham, and the blessing of Abraham. What is the faith of Abraham? And to be able to identify that, so there won't be any confusion, that you won't confuse the faith of Abraham with some abstract idea that has been conjured up in the mind of men. And I'll tell you, they're abstract. They're not concrete ideas, because those, you know, the faith of Abraham just becomes whatever anyone wants it to be, that you're blessed with faith, with the, you know, with faithful Abraham and so forth. Look, I tell you what, get well, let me just say what the faith of Abraham is. The faith of, go to Romans chapter 4. Look at Romans chapter 4. I'm just trying to organize my thoughts here on the fly. But take a look at Romans chapter 4, beginning at verse 17. Romans chapter 4, beginning at verse 17. Romans chapter 4, beginning at verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee, a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. When you talk about the faith of Abraham, first and foremost, it's important to recognize what you're talking about is the fact that Abraham believed God. That Abraham believed God. But what people fail to take into account is that Abraham was given something very specific to be believed. Abraham didn't just have an abstract faith in God. Abraham had a concrete faith in God. And it's that kind of faith that an individual is going to have, number one, to receive the blessing of Abraham. Now, I want to emphasize and put the stress upon the word, the blessing. Not blessings, not plural, but singular. The blessing of Abraham. But you're going to need the faith of Abraham in order to receive the blessing of Abraham. And this is where the ball is dropped by the prosperity preachers. Because Abraham was given something very specific to believe. Now, you and I cannot believe, you and I are not given to believe what Abraham was given to believe. Let's establish that point up front. What Abraham was given to believe is not what you are given to believe. It's not what I am given to believe today in order to receive the blessing of Abraham. Now, the blessing of Abraham is what we receive if we have the faith of Abraham. But the faith of Abraham, our faith, is that is what God has given us to believe. It's not what God gave Abraham. Abraham was given something very specific to believe. And what was that? Verse 18. In verse 18 it says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Now get this, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now, this is a promise given only to Abraham and to Abraham's seed. But when they talk about Abraham's seed, now you're talking about the physical descendants of Abraham. If that need further clarification, I'm going to just let that suffice for now. I know the possible confusion that can come from that statement, but I'm going to assume that you know and understand what I'm talking about. Go over to Galatians chapter 3. And I'll try to expand on that idea here. Galatians chapter 3. And beginning at verse 6. Galatians chapter 3, beginning at verse 6. In Galatians 3 and verse 6, it says, even as Abraham believed God. Now, that was the point that I definitely want not to minimize in any way. I want to stress that. I want to magnify that idea. When we talk about the faith of Abraham, simply what we're talking about is the fact that he believed God. Okay? I just want to stress that Abraham believed God. Now, the question naturally arises, or should arise, what did Abraham believe concerning God? What did Abraham believe concerning God? It says Abraham believed God. But what did Abraham believe concerning God? Verse 6, Galatians 3, 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, when we talk about the faith of Abraham, again, we're just simply talking about the fact that he believed God. It doesn't necessarily explain what Abraham believed. It just simply says that Abraham believed God. Now, the verses do tell us what Abraham believed. But I'm just making the point that when we talk about the faith of Abraham, we're just simply talking about the fact that an individual believes God. But God can give different individuals at different times different things to believe. Okay? God can give different individuals at different times different things to believe. But believing God is the fundamental principle. But to be more specific, we asked the question, to believe what? Now, that's where rightly dividing the word of truth truly becomes critical in our understanding of things pertaining to God. In going on in Galatians 3 and verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now, can I say to you, it's important to be able to declare faith in God. But because God speaks to different people at different times, different things, you just can't leave it at that, because you have to answer the question, believe what concerning God? What is it that God has given me to believe? I think of Psalms 119 and verse 49. The psalmist says, remember the word, O Lord, unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. In fact, take a look at that verse. If you got your Bibles handy, take a look at Psalms 119, verse 49. You see, this is what is usually left out. And it's not left out in a technical sense, but it's left out because of a failure to rightly divide the word of truth. People treat the word of God as a smorgasbord, and that you can just come to it and just take whatever you want from it. And you can't do that. The faith of Abraham, he believed God, but believe what? You have to believe the word of God to you. See, that's what Psalms 119:49 stresses, makes clear. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Now, if you go back to Romans 4 and verse 17, again, you'll see exactly what I'm stressing here. In verse 18, it says, who against hope believed in hope. You see, when it says who against hope, that is, that's Abraham looking at his and Sarah's physical condition. And there was just no way that they could see themselves having a child. But it says, believed in hope. Well, now that's Psalms 119, verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. And that's what God did with Abraham. When God spoke to Abraham, when God promised Abraham, he gave Abraham a hope. And not wishful thinking, but a confident expectation that what God had said would come to pass. Now, the prosperity preachers, they take this idea and they butcher it. And they pervert it to the extreme, where they make God out to be a liar. Or they make God out to be some charlatan. But you have to remember something about God. The one defining attribute of God, a defining attribute of God, is that, number one, God cannot lie. Has he not spoken it? Shall he not also bring it to pass? Now these guys, they tore around with that concept, they tore around with that idea, but I tell you, they pervert it and corrupt it to the extreme where they make God out to be a liar. And they make shipwreck people's faith. They have people believing God for things that God has never promised them. And when the things don't materialize, when the things don't come to pass according to the things that were spoken or the things that they claim. And by the way, God isn't giving people the license to name whatever they will in spite of what people sometimes teach about that. But again, who against hope believed in hope? What is the source of hope? Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, where does hope come from? From God's word to you. Abraham's hope was derived from the word of God spoken to Abraham. So shall thy seed be. Go back to Galatians 3 and verse 8. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. Get this now. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. Now, there's some tremendous revelation here. And, you know, each one of these ideas that comes to the surface here out of these verses, you can spend a great deal of time expanding on them where you don't get through your message. And I'm always in jeopardy of not getting through my message. But there's a tremendous revelation here in Galatians 3:8. It's a dispensational point. And if you write down by that verse, Romans chapter 3, verse 29 and 30, this verse will help you tremendously to understand Romans 3, 29 and 30. And Romans 3, 29 and 30 will help you to understand tremendously the statement in Galatians 3, 8. Now, what does he say there in Galatians 3, 8? And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, get this, through faith. Now, that's very specific language. And the Bible is very precise in its use of words. And I might add, a King James Bible is very precise in its use of words. Now, when I say the Bible, I can say the Bible, and the King James being a representation of what the Word of God is for the English-speaking person today. But I will stress to you that there are things in a King James Bible that preserves the truth and the clarity of God's Word rightly divided that is not preserved in the New Modern Translations. And such ideas are obscured. They're covered over. They're clouded over. Because those new translations, number one, they don't represent the true preserve, the true faithful preserve translation of the Word of God. They don't represent the truth. They don't represent the truly preserved Word of God. They represent a perversion. They represent a corruption of the Word of God, or the attempt to corrupt the Word of God. But that's what the new Bibles, they represent that. And this is an area that will demonstrate that, like many other passages, can demonstrate why the King James Bible, the King James translation, is superior to any other English translation on the market today. Okay? And as long as these new modern translations are being translated from the corrupt line of manuscripts, the King James Bible will ever be superior to any other modern English translation, because it comes from the preserve line, the true line that represents the truth of God, you know, the true Word of God. The King James represents that true line of manuscripts, represents that. But there in Romans chapter, Galatians chapter 3, verse 8 there, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, get this now, through faith. Now, it is distinguishing God's justification of the heathen today in the dispensation of grace. But now if you go back to Romans chapter 3, verse 30, you'll see that there are two distinct doctrines of justification. Faith undergirding both. That is, justification is by faith for both the circumcised and the uncircumcised. But how the circumcised is justified and how the uncircumcised is justified is different one from the other. You know, people who are telling you that there's but one gospel in the scripture try to make Galatians chapter 2 tell a lie. But if you take Galatians chapter 2 at face value, you have two distinct gospels. You have the gospel of the circumcision, and you have the gospel of the uncircumcision. And Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, drives that point home that there are two distinct gospel messages. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, that's not an accidental phrase. That is a significant phrase that you do not want to water down or change in any way. Preach before the gospel unto Abraham. Now, when it says that preach before the gospel unto Abraham, it is not talking about Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. you know, no one should be so foolish as to believe that that's what was preached to Abraham. The verse tells you what the good news was that was preached before to Abraham, what the gospel was that was preached before to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. In thee shall all nations be blessed. Now that was the good news to Abraham. Preach before the gospel unto Abraham. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. Now look back again at Romans 3:30. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision, get this now, by faith, and uncircumcision through faith. Now when I tell you the King James Bible is precise in its use of words and its phrases, that's a verse that demonstrates that, just like Galatians chapter 2, verse 7. Likewise, when it talks about the gospel of the uncircumcision and the gospel of the circumcision, there's a difference. And don't let anybody ever fool you about that. Just take the words at face value. How do I know they're different? They're different words. You got the gospel of the circumcision, you got the gospel of the uncircumcision. Now, you know, if words mean anything, they're not the same. Okay? That's how, and the phrase, through faith and by faith, also speaks of the difference between the two messages. And there is a difference between the two messages. Now, the gospel of the circumcision is that Abraham was given something to do. The gospel of the uncircumcision, Abraham was given something to believe. Now, in the case of the gospel of the circumcision, just like James chapter 2 says, show me your faith without your works, and by my works I'll show you my faith. That's why James says what he says. Because James is talking about the gospel of the circumcision. James is talking about a message that requires you to do something. Now, when Paul talks about the gospel of the uncircumcision, or when Paul talks about being justified through faith, he's talking about believing, about giving a message that simply requires you to believe and not do. That's why Paul says what he says in Romans 4 in verse 4. Now to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Why? Because in this case, you have the individual being given, is given a message that requires him not to do anything, but simply to believe. That's what Abraham was given in uncircumcision. Go back to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Let's start at verse 3. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it, his faith, was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth, get this now, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say this because that introduces us to the blessing of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham has nothing to do with the land or material prosperity that God promised Abraham. the blessing of Abraham has to do with the imputation of righteousness without works. When we talk about the faith of Abraham, we're simply talking about the fact that he believed God. But it's important that we believe God for the message that God has given us to believe. Again, I say to you, God spoke to different people at different times with different instruction, with a different message. And because that is true, believing in God, that's the principle, but believing what? That's the specific. Abraham was given to believe that he would be the father of many nations, and God counted his faith unto him for righteousness. You and I are given to believe in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we do that, our faith is counted unto us for righteousness. When you take the saints under the law given to Moses, God gave them the law and told them to keep this, do this and live. Okay? You remember the scripture say the law is not of faith, but the man which doeth them shall live by them? Here's the point. The law would have been the expression of the keeping of the law would have been the expression of their faith. They could not demonstrate, they could not show their faith without keeping the law. But you see, God had given them something to do. And the only way they could show their faith is by doing what God had given them to do. So that's why James would say, show me your faith without your works, and by my works I'll show you my faith. Why? Because they were given a message that required them to do something. Okay? Now, Abraham has a dual fathership. He's the father of the uncircumcision, and he's a father of the circumcision. He's the father of them who've been given a message to simply to believe in God's word to them that required them to do nothing, but just simply to take him at his word. That is, his word did not require them to do anything. And then he's the father of them, the father of the circumcision, people who he had given something to do. And they show their faith by doing what God told them to do. Take this idea for example. Could a Jew lay claim to being a child of God without being circumcised? He could not. In fact, the law required that circumcision be performed upon the male child when he was 8 days old. You remember Moses did not circumcise his son, and God had an issue with Moses for failing to have circumcised his child. My point simply is they were given something to do, and if they did not do that, they would be cut off. Okay? The gospel of the circumcision is fundamentally and radically different from the gospel of the uncircumcision. The gospel of the circumcision is fundamentally and radically different from the gospel of the uncircumcision. They're not the same. Okay? And it's important. So when we talk about the faith of Abraham is that he believed God. But what specifically did he believe? And so shall thy seed be. Likewise, when we talk about having the faith of God, it is not that we are just believing anything and everything, but rather we're believing the Word of God to us through the Apostle Paul. When we do that, and God's Word to us through Paul is that Christ, remember what Paul says, I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. See, that's what God has given us to believe. And when we do that, that's why Paul writes in Galatians 3 and verse 26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You see? So that's important. When you talk about the faith of Abraham, yes, you're talking about the fact that he believed God. And when you talk about the blessing of Abraham, you're talking about the imputation of righteousness for that faith, which rests in God's word to you. It has nothing to do with the physical, material prosperity of the things of this world. And you need to mark that down, get that in your understanding, lest these people overthrow your faith, make shipwreck your faith. You understand? If you're out there looking for your blessing, you're out there looking for your breakthrough because you're waiting for some material blessing, you're waiting for your bank account to be better, you're waiting for your health to be better, you're waiting for God to do those things, and I got a sister on the line that can tell you a thing or two about believing that kind of stuff and did everything the preacher told her to do and everything the preacher told her to do and that God would bless it, just the opposite happened to her. And that's not just her testimony, that's the testimony of thousands and thousands upon thousands like her. I speak these things to you so that you might know the truth of the matter about the faith of Abraham and about the blessing of Abraham. Yes, Abraham believed God, but he didn't just believe anything. Remember Psalms 119:49. Remember thy word, O Lord, unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. You have no claim on anything other than that which God has spoken to you about you. And when you do that, you can be 100% assured that the promise of God would be realized in the details of your life when you take Him at His word. When you believe God for the things He has given you to believe about you, there's no failure. There's no misfires. There's no pretending. There's no faking it till you make it. You see? And you don't have to go around pretending something that is not so.